Before we get too far into this for Fly Racing Racer X podcast, thanks to the folks at Racetech, racetech.com. Check them out on the web. We've got authorized service centers all across America as well. Tell them you listen to Pulp. They'll get a deal on it. Suspension work, motor work, all of it. Springs. Get your right springs for your weight and or size, people. It makes a hell of a difference. Trust me, I know this. Racetech.com. All right, on to the show.
A Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
Say that dedication to your frustration.
Welcome over to the Fly Racing Racer X podcast. Thanks to the folks at Fly Racing, man. Appreciate those guys for coming on board. Renthal Maxxis as well. 25 years of Fly, and Renthal.com for more information on those guys. Maxxis Tires as well. Great mountain bike tires. Dirt bike tires developed by some guy named McGrath, who was doing some announcing this weekend at the Supercross. Thanks to you guys for coming on board. For those guys, Motorsport.com, we'll talk more about later. But for now, let's get into, JT and Weed, shall we? All right, everybody, let's get right to it here on the Fly Racing Racer X podcast. Nashville Supercross review. Holy shit, there's a lot to get into when it comes to Nashville. Thanks to the folks at Fly Racing, 25 years of Fly. Check them out, your local dealer, motorsport.com. They did some cool St. Jude gear this weekend, and they had not a bad weekend with RJ Hampshire winning the race in his Fly Racing gear. Also on the line from Fly Racing, it's Jason Thomas. What's up, JT?
Not too much. Back home. We're in a... Pretty serious. Well, Weege and I are on a routine of going to the races. We're not there.
I'm sorry. He just took three off. So I don't know if you remember that those days.
That's not convenient to my comment.
Okay.
We're in a routine. Okay. Currently, we are in a routine currently.
Oh, okay. What's up, Weege? How are you?
Going to races, man. That's how I am.
That's how you are? Yeah, well, you know always. You know where you're not going? You're not going to the press box. Not going to the press box again. Not talking to the media. It's a sham.
Nope.
You never went to the press box?
Nope. Never even saw it.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Turns his back on the people that he used to be.
Yep. I'm in the pits getting scoops and pocket squares.
Okay.
Imagine how the flaggers feel.
Yep.
Like, this is what flaggers went through 20 years ago.
That's true. Shunned.
Imagine what Ultimate must feel like when you don't ever talk to Ultimate.
Well, when I spoke to them is weird because I spoke in like coherent, like normal, like grammatically correct sentences. So they already thought it was a little weird for them.
Mm. Okay. Fantastic. Yeah. It's sad, Weege, but lots to get into when it comes to Nashville. But nothing more pressing than JT's shirt pressing against his muscles.
Oh, my God.
JT, you got to get a bigger shirt. You got to get a bigger shirt. I know you're in shape. That's cool. You want to show it off. That's cool, too. You know? But you got to get a bigger shirt, man. That thing's going to break. It's going to bust on TV.
Okay.
True or false, you went to a jacket for the night show because the shirt broke?
Absolutely not. It was freaking freezing.
Okay. All right. you went to a jacket at some point.
Yeah, it was really cold, man.
Okay.
It got really cold.
All right. Can we look into a bigger shirt or no?
No, man. I'll dress myself. You worry about your jacket.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Lots to get into when it comes to that. I narrowed it down to three crazy things. Just three. Maybe I missed them because, again, I wasn't at the race. Ken Roczen's shock blowing apart and him going for a hell of a ride. Sexton's throttle sticking and him launching it off a single into the ground, or Mitch Payton's two red plate riders take each other out, and one DNFs and one, you know, loses his points lead. Well, they both lost their points lead. We let you pick on the trio of nuttiness on where you want to start.
Yeah, this is great. I'm right there with you. I would have never thought that we had a tie for the 450 points lead, and that ended up not being one of the even podium level stories of this race. I don't think it's even podium level. I don't think Jett and Cooper are the stories. You nailed it. It's one of these three. I really want to go with Roczen because the visual is just unfreaking believable. But Pro Circuit has been so cursed.
Yeah.
That they're finding, you would think, okay, when the previous ways that titles have slipped from their grasp multiple times at Forkner or AC in 2019, you would think those, like, it's never going to get worse. But nope, there was one rung in the ladder that they still had not had, which was teammates leading both series taking each other out. That was the one box they had not checked. So I'm going to go with that because it's part of a larger overall insane trend.
Let's not forget Austin Forkner looking very good and then destroying himself as well earlier this year.
Hamaker is out and Max Vollen is out. So they have a five-rider team that might have all five injured. We don't really know. I'm sure the chef is going to try.
Yeah.
But he was in the hospital after the race. So
chef's fine, but yeah. He was
injured riders.
He was in the hospital. JT, you pick which one of those three would you like to most shake your head at?
Yeah, I would have to go with Pro Circuit.
Okay, all right.
I mean, I saw Mitch Payton this morning at the airport, and I just walked up to him, and I just, WTF. That's all I know to say to you is, what in the actual F? He's like, yep, I'm right there with you. Like, you just don't even know what to – what do you even say to that? How do you even respond?
Did he look like he had the normal amount of hair? Because what he does when things are going bad or he's mad, he runs his hand through the top of his hair. And if you talk to people who work there, before he unleashed on someone or something or whatever, he would take his hat off and run his hand through his hair, and then it was on. Did you notice that there was any hair missing?
I did not.
Okay.
But he honestly was, you know, like, just looked like his normal self. But man, that had to be a sleepless night. It had to be a sleepless night.
I mean, McAdoo sounds like he's got some damage. I mean, he's getting an MRI done tomorrow, you know, but that's not good.
Kitchen sounds like he's got some damage too. Like,
yeah.
I don't think either of them are unscathed.
I asked Kitchen this morning, I'm like, I wasn't at the race, so like, were you just that far back? Did you go in the mechanics area for bike repairs or anything? And he said, no, man, I couldn't breathe. I'm like, okay, roger that. So,
well, yeah, so, I mean, it sounds like broken ribs, possibly. Like, I'm sure he couldn't breathe.
They ruled all that out, but a hard hit, right? A hard hit.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Now, JT, maybe you can help me a little bit with this. So I was writing my column today. It's an award-winning column for RacerX Observations. And I was thinking about Mitch back in the day. Like, did he get any sort of help with his titles where this karma is coming back on him? Like, Team USA over the years got a super amount of weirdo stuff that happened to them to enable them to win Motocross the Nations. They were trailing going to the third moto so many times. Either Stanton would knock down a Belgium, or a guy wouldn't make the Parc Fermé, or Everett's bike broke in Australia or whatever. And then,
just like an anti-American thing?
No. And so then I started thinking that maybe all the karma was coming back to them for Team USA for all these other years where they couldn't bring it home. And then I was thinking,
I don't think so. I know where you're going.
Yeah. So I was like, did Mitch have like a bunch of wins or titles that were, then I was like, no, he had McGrath and Carmichael and Villopoto.
Yeah. He had the best guys and the best, which you put those two things together, you usually win a lot.
It's just insane that the last Supercross title they won was 2017 with Justin Hill. It's nuts.
Yeah, I was reading and wondering, like, so when these four strokes first came out and Mitch really pulled ahead of the competition, and they were giving credit to, what was the guy's name?
Drino Miller.
Drino, yes, from Toyota or something like that.
Yep.
Maybe it wasn't actually that. Like, did he do a deal with the devil? Like, did Satan build the motors and it's come back around?
Sorby, Gosler, Darcy Lange. Anybody wants to get on this bike and get podiums? Anyone?
Gosler.
It just was nuts. So I don't know, man. I was telling Chef, hey, all of this and you're 2 points down, Like, he's not out of this, and he can very well win this, as we know. But so, you know, that's not – I mean, I think McAdoo's in a lot of trouble here, especially because they're racing 6 days from now. But Chef's only two back, so, you know. Yeah, but wow. Okay.
Yeah, the actual move here, by the way, JT, I'll defer to you. You were on the track. Was it just racing? Yeah, McAdoo and Kitchen. Was there anything bad or dumb?
Not really. It was just that rhythm section guys were moving around a lot. You know, it was very similar to Marchbanks' crash. Mm-hmm. It just that was the way that section was. You know, those first rhythm sections right out of first corner can always be dicey. Now, this was the extreme version of that. But you think about like Anaheim 2 with Jet. There have been several versions of this that have gone. They go really sideways really fast because there's no room. You can't move. Like, you literally cannot move. If you move, you're into somebody and you're going to be tangled up and going down.
No, I was going to say, like, we can't have whoops after the start. We can't have triples after the start. We can't have rhythm. No, we can't have rhythm. It's like, I know it's fine. No, I know. I'm just saying,
this is just
like,
part of racing. Like, these weren't even, this wasn't even a big rhythm section. You know, I think if you put big rhythm sections with huge options in there right off the start, that is a little problematic, in my opinion. This is just a part of Supercross, and unfortunately, it's one of the worst parts.
Two years in a row for Nashville, too. Definitely the harder dirt probably has something to do with it. Like, it was very hard base, right?
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, 2 years in a row, Nashville has done some damage to everybody. Boy. And then the Roczen thing. Oh, boy. You know, I've always wondered what a shock would look like through whoops without oil.
Yeah.
What would that look like, I thought? would Mythbusters like to do a little demo, you know? Now we know. God.
Yeah. Yeah, shock without oil. This is how it would react to Supercross. We now know.
Only 3 hours on the shock. It's not an old shock. It's only got 3 hours on it, and the Showa is very wondering also. The bladder blew apart, not the body, but the reservoir. And, crazy. Crazy stuff. Poor Kenny.
What a visual. Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, I was thinking that could get us on TMZ, like McAdoo, maybe? I don't know. That was absolutely nuts. Kenny sounds like he's going to be okay, so that's good. Hopefully his ankle definitely looked twisted when he landed. Twisted T. And then Sexton. Yeah, you saw Sexton when he got taken off the track. He had some words for Zim, his mechanic, probably saying, like, yeah, WTF. And then KTM. Did this information come from KTM, Weech, or was it just what you found out?
No, oddly, they reported it. They went out of their way to announce it in press conference.
Okay.
You know, they have Stephanie, their PR person, and other people were there because Vial was in the press conference. So they've also told Dan Hubbard. Now, they've been encouraging teams, like, hey, 45 minutes after the race, you got something you want to say, just tell us, and we'll tell Dan Hubbard to say it so everybody watching the press conference can hear it. So I don't know if they were like, we better get out in front of this, or just the timing was right. But, yeah, he was told to say it by KTM.
I was wondering.
They gave him the note.
Yeah, I was wondering if he was, you know, just trying to be like Hardy and launch that thing. You know.
I mean, same thing with Roczen. Like, we know the tells. Like, they don't loop out at this level. Something's up. Yeah,
they don't go for doubles, come up horrifically short while almost looping out.
Yeah. Yes. Now, I have heard some people are not buying this because I don't know what to say. Like some fans are like, this is what Sexton does, dude. He's always blaming the bike. And I'm like, dude, there's a big difference between, like, setup and I looped out. Like, that's not the same. It has to have been a bike problem. It has to.
No, this was, as soon as I saw it, I'm like, yeah, something happened.
Yeah.
Yes. That's, yeah.
Like, loop out and come up wildly short that. Like, his body language, everything about it, the way he was wildly out of position, you know, he gets out of position because the bike does something he's not expecting. You know, all those are telltale signs that the bike did something wrong.
Yeah, if you want to argue the Honda last year, he crashed because of him, not the bike, or this year he's not as good because of him or the bike, you can argue that forever, but this is clearly
the
bike.
This is not that.
No.
Yeah, Nashville, man. Nashville, yeah.
I would I would like to see this going through the whoops without a shock again. I almost think this could be like Roman Gladiators. You take people out of the stands. Who can do it? Who can get one of these bikes? Like, we're going to drain the oil. Can you get this bike through this section of whoops?
Seven.
Can you do it?
Like 7 seconds or 9 seconds,
yeah.
Whatever Luke Perry was trying to do. Right. Yeah.
Eight seconds.
Eight seconds. Yeah, 7 or 9.
Plessinger. Can Plessinger do it? Yeah. Can you get a KTM?
If anybody would do it, AP would.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it was just, yeah, nutty night. And the showdown was awesome to watch. Not for Mitch Payton, but for everybody else. It was super cool to have that showdown. It was great to have more of them. But, yeah, yep. and then bummer. Bummer for Sexton. Bummer for Kenny, for sure. And hopefully they're all right, but crazy. All right, Jet Lawrence wins. Tomac looked great. Took off. Had a nice little lead. Looked fantastic. And then, Jet Lawrence showed everybody that what we've been talking about, to be fair, about being the best rider. Coop was right behind him. Pulled out on Coop. Caught Eli Tomac, dropped Eli Tomac, and won in a rather, easy weege.
Yeah, I think so. Hey, JT, I'm going to run a theory by you here. So these guys all figured out, oh my gosh, this kid is really freaking fast. So we can't let him go. We're going to have to work on speed. So I feel like that first lap, it was like Webb, Roczen, and Tomac like, you want to see sprint speed? Check this out. And that is great. But I always say it's not that simple. You can run as fast as you want at the beginning of a marathon. It's going to get you in the end. So I wonder now if it's like just like, all right, if you guys want to go this balls to the wall, that's fine. But you're not going to ride like that for 20 minutes. So I'll just chill back here and I'll just ride normal and I'll just keep my heart rate, my arms and all that under control. And I'll just go by once you guys are blown up. Because that first lap was insane how well even Webb was riding. But
yeah, you think so? Like, I thought Webb was okay. Like, he didn't do anything crazy. To me, the only one that went really nuts was Roczen. Like, Roczen was going for it the first lap. I thought, like, Tomac.
I thought Eli was.
He's doing his thing, but he was really kind of unchallenged. Like, nobody really showed him a wheel. So, yes, he's doing all the right things, but Kenny went from sixth to second in, like, three corners. Like, if you watch him where he is in the first rhythm section, he goes from sixth to second around the outside of that corner. Over the double rips around the outside of the sand, like it was, and then the inside of the sand of the next, like it was insane. But I thought everybody else was kind of doing what they normally do. I don't know. It's just my opinion. I didn't see anything wildly unusual other than Roczen just going parabolic.
Well,
the first few corners.
I thought Tomac and Webb were the same. They're I'll just keep go. He's right there. I've got to go full sprint.
Did Webb do anything?
Well, for two laps, Webb stayed with him, and then all of a sudden
Did he do anything, though? Like, I mean, okay, he hung in there, but did he do anything?
What is your definition of do anything?
Pass anybody, make any aggressive moves, put a wheel on anybody.
Do you have to pass someone to do anything? Or right, is it, I had like to, it I could keep up with for two laps, like, and then I couldn't after those first two laps.
Yeah, I thought you're saying it's like chaos the first lap or whatever. I thought Webb was just like kind of in the group going. Like, that's kind of how I saw it anyway.
Well, what Webb said in the press conference is, he's like, I was trying to copy and do everything Jet was doing, and then it was getting worse, and then it was getting worse, and then he was pulling further away, and then I just started trying to relax and just start riding like myself, and then I rode better, but then he was gone. So I think, and the same thing with Tomac in these races lately, has had almost Jet speed for a little while, but then it completely falls apart later on, and I'm thinking, like, they've so told themselves now, I've got to sprint, that they are blowing themselves up. In 5 minutes, and it's awesome for 5 minutes, but it's hard to be good at the first five and the last five. And Roczen for sure, he always does that. Yeah, that's a theory I'm developing.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I don't think I have a strong opinion. I thought it was just kind of Jet was letting things play out. That's kind of how I saw it. You know, Roczen went crazy, like going for it, and they had a really good pace going, and I thought Jet was just kind of letting the race unfold a little bit early. He didn't have the pace to go with them, like, but he was also like, okay, I can't let them get too far away. And then he kind of found his rhythm, and then once he kind of gets in a rhythm, man, if it's unimpeded, good luck. And they rode really well, all of them did, but I still think Jet has the most pace, you know, when he really finds it. Like, if they're all at their best, I think Jet has the best of it. So,
it, I mean,
it was probably an effort.
To me, it was surprising that they, because I mean, Weege is right, but at some point it was 4 seconds to Jet. And, like, that's a little surprising. Just 4 seconds ain't much. We saw that. But, you know, it was a little surprising that Jet wasn't like, oh, okay, because we all – Jet can go that fast, you know. And I guess he just, yeah, took a couple of laps to get the grooves. When you look at the lap times, it's really like 8, 9, 10 laps. He was doing 50s. Those guys started doing 51s and 52s.
Yeah, but also Jet's first two laps were not very good. So that has to be part of it. Like, Eli goes 49 and 50 on the first two laps, and Jet's 51, high 51, mid 51 on the first two laps. Then he kind of gets it, starts getting it together on lap three or four, or lap four is really where he starts to kind of find his groove a little bit. So it could have been both, you know, it doesn't have to be one or the other. It could be both. Those guys were just on rails right at the beginning, and Jet kind of took him, it just took him longer to get to his best pace. And then the trouble for these guys is that when he does get to his best pace, they don't seem to have an answer for it.
He did 11 laps in the 50s, and one was 51.0. Like, no one else, you know, even came close to that.
Yeah, it's like that groove, you know. Once he gets it, they're all in third. They don't seem to be able to counter that. I was trying to mention that in the show or during the broadcast. Is like, their number one goal right now has to be to get him out of that groove. Like, whatever that takes, bump him, hit him, make him angry, do something. Because when he gets to that place, we've seen it, you know, throughout the season. If you let him get comfortable, it's lights out. It's over.
This track wasn't very good either.
No.
Combination of the dirt and design. Like, I don't know. I wonder if a little bit of a Jet just being like, I got nowhere to go. It's tight. It's easy. You know, I got to figure it out here. I got to figure this out. They started tripling, obviously, before the whoops. Did you guys see anybody double and then like Kenny was doubling and then tripling over the start and then double over the start front of the gate and then triple? Was that not faster? Like, I saw Hardy doing it. If Hardy can do it, then these guys can do it. Like, was it not?
Hardy jumped the Rocco's lead.
Double like behind right in front of the starting gate.
Yeah. Double into there, go wide. Triple.
Yeah, they were doing that in the heat race, but then it was slower. I was definitely watching.
It was slower,
Eli, Kenny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good because you had to go to the berm.
Yeah.
And going to the berm was really slow.
Okay. So that's what it was more than anything. Okay.
Yeah, well, it kind of like morphed throughout the night. Like, Eli started doing it in the heat, going outside and then tripling, which the triple part of it was awesome. But then they figured out, okay, let's do the triple still, but we gotta get away from this berm thing. The berm thing's kill. Or actually, yeah, it was, I think Roxanne maybe was started that. Somebody started it, but yeah, it was. It kind of changed throughout the night. But yes, the double was in play early on.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I thought it would. I mean, again, I just watched some social media clips of Hardy doing it.
Yeah, it was just that the berm was really far.
Yeah.
Like to go out there it, so that was what was kind of killing it.
You saw Hardy. Are you talking to the triple before the whoops or the double in front of the
double in front of the gate was Hardy.
The Sexton double.
Yeah.
Oh, so Hardy was, because I saw, I think, believe it or not, or maybe not surprisingly, I saw Josh Hill do it in the heat, and I thought it was the first 450 guy I saw do it.
Which, well, a bunch of guys did in practice. It just wasn't great.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't really working.
Like, so my question would be to the Dirtworks guys, like, why? Why? You know, just, what are we doing?
It's very odd.
Yeah.
Joe.
Just okay.
Well, they changed it. It was supposed to be initially okay on Friday.
Yeah.
The first jump was really big, so initially the theory was you could either double into it, or single double out of it. Right. So it had given you two different ways to do it. If you go outside in the corner before and double in, or if you go inside in the corner before and single double. I thought that was kind of creative. Like there would it would, and then the corner after all that would have shifted again. But then they knocked down the first one, and then it kind of became really one line. So I don't really know why. But
coming out of the right turn with a huge double with a starting gate box there,
a little scary, right?
Yeah. We got Hardy, Exhibit A, Hardy. I'm gonna do this, and then just lands on top of the doghouse. So I don't know.
Great TV though.
It would be. It would be great TV, for sure. They should actually send Hardy out early on Thursdays. And have them string together sections.
They should just put like have him do transfers, like like get really great insurance for him, and just send him out there. Like get him on some sort of retainer.
Yeah.
For the transfer guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, all right. So, yeah, that's what I kind of wanted to know. And then I got a report on Twitter that Roczen was doing it too. I don't know if this is practice or heat. So I was like, wait, what's going on here? Yep. So, yeah. And then, so it wasn't any better though. Got it. Just the track was uninspiring for sure. I don't know. You know, we got the nine whoops. We got the nine whoops thing.
It was so hard packed on Friday before it rained. Mm-hmm. So hard. And then it rained and then it got like muddy, but the base was still like rock hard. So it was, it was not good.
So Jet wins. Jet gets 5 points away from Coop. Great ride from Jet. Great ride from Tomac, too. I mean, Tomac really rode well to get the second. He led 10 laps. And then Coop, like we'd mentioned, was just hanging around. I guess, you know, he lost 5 points, but he got on the box. So you surprised JT?
Yeah, you said he didn't have it. Just said he didn't have it.
Surprised JT that Tomac didn't let him by or the team or anything?
Not surprised, but I think it was an interesting question to pose. You know, how does that – I guess the only person I would be wondering their thoughts are maybe some decision makers at Yamaha and then Webb, right? Is that a thought in their head of like, man, like I could really use those points about now, you know, but I don't know. Webb's a realist, so maybe he's like, no, he's not going to let me by. You know, like I don't know. Those are the only thoughts I would, you know, everybody else I'd be like, yeah, whatever. Like we don't know. We don't know what the team dynamic is, but it's definitely an interesting scenario to kind of look at the ripple effects of it.
Yeah, I don't think, like in my mind, there's no chance. Like Eli's just not doing that. Like he's just.
I kind of am with you.
He's the alpha, it's just right? Yeah.
If you're Yamaha and you only care about who, you know, just trying to get this title. Gotta win, you know, like it's an interesting thing. Like everybody probably has a little bit of different perspective on it.
Weege, what do you think?
Well, first of all, it doesn't matter because Tomac's not doing it. So they all can make any decision. They can have any meeting. They can put anything they want on a pit board. Eli Tomac is not pulling over for a teammate. I don't buy it. So it didn't even cross my mind as a possibility. So there you go.
Okay.
I don't think he plays like that.
Crazy that I'm looking at the AMA sheets, and these 10 laps are the only 10 laps that Eli has led all year. It's got to win.
It was a big mistake Marv. Big mistake like Marv made.
Oh, yeah. Right. Big mistake. Yeah.
Yes, it's true. If he almost lost the front.
Yep.
But no, I don't think Tomac – I just feel like Tomac's history is I'm here for myself. I don't talk to my teammates. I don't hang out with my teammates. I don't bro down. I don't give Savacci even $50 when he helps me win $1 million. I just race.
I think I'm with you, Weech. Yes. I think that's it. I'm going to stare into your soul if you ask me a question I don't like. You know?
And maybe that's fine. I mean, whenever those things happen, half the people hate it. So maybe he's right.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, look, Jet just, of the three of us on the phone call here, Jet's been the fastest guy, and he showed everybody this weekend, like, hey, man, I'm gonna show you guys what's up. So good job by Jet Lawrence. The other guys rode great, and even I'd love to see if Kenny didn't go for his ride where he finishes. He looked spicy for sure. So,
well, yeah, that was one worry. You know, Webb just wasn't that good, and I don't. Is it a guarantee that he gets Roczen, and it is a guarantee that Sexton doesn't get Webb either?
Yeah,
because I think he was up to behind Webb when he crashed, or maybe there was one guy between them. So luckily in an off night, he didn't have to deal with those two. Cause I don't think it's a guarantee Webb. Roczen was riding well, at least at first.
Yeah,
maybe
for sure.
Fades, but,
I think Roczen definitely beats Webb.
Right. So there you go. He kind of got lucky with a couple of these. No doubt. Then, yeah, you're probably right.
Anderson.
You look at the way Webb didn't finish strong. You know what I mean?
No.
It wasn't like he was coming and you're probably getting him. Like he didn't really have a lot late.
Anderson got fourth on a harder packed track that kind of suits him a little bit more. He rode better than he's been.
But he rode better last week, too.
He did. Yeah, he did. But hard base last week, too.
Totally. Yep. I'm just saying that it was awful a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
It was completely coming apart.
Yeah, in the triple.
So this is noticeably better.
Triple Crown, which was in St. Louis, he just went backwards all day.
It had been bad for a bit.
Barcia fifth. Good job. That's Barcia's first non-mutter. Top five, I believe, of the year?
Yeah.
Started 11?
There will be volumes written someday of the Barcia bike setup team. I don't even know. It's like, I swear it changes every 3 days.
I
heard so much drama, like, in the last week or two. There was drama in the year, right? Then he got it fixed. Then he was better.
Yeah.
Then more drama. And then more testing, and now it's back to being good again. It, I don't even know. Volumes will be written someday.
I heard he did the web route and got an outside person to do his suspension, and now he's happy.
No, I think that might already be done.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying. It changes like every 3 days.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm going to say, we're talking about Anderson, right?
No, Barcia.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Never mind.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm staying away from the Anderson suspension conversation entirely. I don't want any part of that at all. I don't know anything about the Barcia suspension either, other than he seems like he's been extremely unhappy all season.
Anderson really tuned up Hunter.
I didn't see it. I heard Ricky, I'm moving around a lot during the main event, trying to get certain places to see things, and I heard about it, but I didn't see it yet. I really want to try to find that.
Hunter won the heat, ruined everybody's experience for Adam C. and Cirillo. So nice job, Hunter.
Oh, God.
Nice job. Way to ruin it for all of us.
Hey, he felt bad, too.
He did. He did feel bad. Yeah.
Felt bad, too.
Yeah.
I asked Hunter his opinion. He was very clear. Not what he would call a racing incident.
Okay, all right. That's odd coming from Anderson.
Well, Anderson's DGAF. We know it. Everybody knows it, right? He's not gonna be apologetic for it.
Did you see his new shirt he's selling?
Yes, I did.
Yes, right. I think that's a DGAF move, also
A DGAF.
Yeah.
You know what? Honestly, it's not really my style. But if you're gonna do it, lean into it. You know what I mean? Like, one of the best things I've ever seen Barcia do was at Salt Lake, basically just say, hey, this is me, man. Like, this is who I am. If you're expecting any different, you're going to be disappointed. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to do things like that, just go for it.
He said he's not that type of rider with the jet thing.
Well, that was different. But you know what I'm saying,
I know,
right? Like, if you're going to be that guy, just own it. Just be the guy then. Like, don't tell me you don't mean to do it. It's like, if you're Freezy, just say, yes, I ride like a jerk. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to bring Vince into this. I'm just saying, if you have a thing and you're going to do a thing and it's your tendency, then just let that be you. You know what I mean? Like, everybody already knows it's you. You're trying to tell us that a spade's not a spade. We don't believe you.
It's like when Guar comes out and spits blood on you and everything. That's Guar. That's what you're going to get.
I will not be going to a Guar concert anytime soon.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, no, they throw blood all over the audience and everything, among other things. So
wow.
Okay, Cooper sixth. He continues to be the most invisible rider for me all year long.
That was impressive in the heat, though.
Yeah,
like going after Roczen like that. I thought that was pretty cool.
And it says he came around the first lap in 16th to sixth. So that's good. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see him at all. To your point, didn't see him at all.
Hunter Lawrence seventh. Hunter, I had him in fantasy, so I was paying attention. He was after Anderson. Mr. Anderson did that to him. He was 16th or something. So. Good job to get up to seventh.
Good ride.
He's riding better. Yeah, he's riding better. How about Benny Bloss?
Yeah.
The beta. Good job. Yeah, good job, Benny.
So what do we attribute to Benny looking great and Colt not looking great at all?
You talked to him. I feel like you've talked to them the most, haven't you, Steve?
Yeah.
The two guys. I feel like you interview them after the races a lot.
I do. I like going by there. It's a good team.
Yeah, they're awesome guys.
The point I'm making,
unlike JT, I like the way that bike looks too. I go by to see the bike.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. But if Benny wasn't out there, I think we would all look at this and say, yeah, just the bike's not there. Like, it's, Colt's probably fine. The bike's just not there. But Benny clearly is doing okay. So now I wonder, like, what's going on with Colt?
Well, so Benny's 6'5 and a mutant, right? So there is that. But I asked Colt a few times, like, does it give you hope that Benny's got a bike that's working for him? You know, the team can do it, the bike can do it, etc. And Nichols sort of says, yeah, but doesn't really totally buy into that, you know? But it continues to be a bike problem, quote-unquote, with Colt, I believe. Like, not comfortable on his bike. Now, the rider or the bike, whatever, you can point your fingers at that. But it's a bike thing for Colt. And because Benny's such a mutant, we can't steal his settings. So...
But you think it's just a settings thing? Because
I'm
confused. Is it like a Colt not riding well, or is he unhappy with the bike?
Well, I think that's both, right? The rider is telling you he's not comfortable on the bike, and the team is probably being like, Colt, you're not riding very well. Because, this weekend he was never in the mix to make it in the main. Colt wasn't, you know?
No. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. And like, we know Colt's capable. He's a two-bit Supercross champion, right? Yeah. Like, I'm not saying he's going to go be a top five guy, but he should be in the main events.
Well, I think, Benny is Colt's awesome. He's a great dude, but Benny is making him look bad.
He is. No, that's the whole, the crux of it. But there, I guess the why is the question for me, right? Because I know Colt knows how to ride. So it's what's going on with that.
We got a little bit of heat race Mookie out there. Ninth on the main, but in the heat.
What's happening in the main events?
I don't know, man. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, like, no offense to Benny, but...
Oh, wow.
But, like, really...
Here comes Weej whenever someone says no offense.
Yeah, I love it.
No, but, like, I'm saying, like, in a neutral scenario, like, who's paid what, you would expect Malcolm to beat Benny.
Of course,
like, that's a normal expectation, and... It's not just a one-off scenario. Like, Malcolm has not been very good in main events this year. Has not. Nope. It's really hard to argue that. So I'm at a loss. I don't know what to make of it.
I talked to him one time this year. He told me it's really hard to come back after you miss all that time.
But we're around 13 or 14, you know? And he was the fastest. Everybody was talking about how good he was in December. Like, it doesn't. Yeah. That doesn't feel like it holds water to me.
No. I wrote about this in my column a few weeks ago. I'm sure you're an avid reader, JT. Like, and this was with Barcia, I just said they're 31 years old now. Like, they're both older.
Yeah.
And it starts to go down. I don't know if that's it. But if you're looking at it, you're just like, what's gone on here? Because Malcolm's missed entire outdoor seasons before and coming at A1. You know, he's been on a bass boat, I'm sure, for 4 months. And then coming to A1 looking like, you know, no problem. So,
I guess if I put myself in their shoes, when I tore my ACL in 11 – and sat out for 5 months, I never felt the same. I never did.
Yeah.
There was a couple times in Europe where I did.
Yeah.
But in AMA Supercross, I never felt the same after that. I was old. You know, I was about to turn 33. But that break, that time off killed me as far as, like, ever getting it back.
So, ninth for Malcolm, 10th for Vince Freeze. Good job to come back out of a couple weeks off, right, I think?
That's his best ride. He hasn't been very good this year either, comparatively, for what he's kind of built himself up to.
Mm-hmm.
But that was more of a mirror of what he had been in the past couple of years.
Was there any Vince and Dean drama? Because Dean was 11th in his return.
I did not see it.
Okay. Weech, did you see anything?
No, I did not.
Okay.
Nope.
Because you know how those guys have been. Yeah,
Adam won.
Right.
Obviously, World Supercross last year.
Yeah. Justin Hill won the LCQ, was 12th. McElrath, 13th.
Yeah, Hill told me that, honestly, he jacked up his back at Anaheim 1. Remember, we thought he got screwed when they canceled the qualifying at San Francisco?
Yeah.
He's like, no, I couldn't even ride. Like, he was like, if they had the second practice, I wasn't even going out.
Oh, okay.
So he's been dealing with that. Then he got landed on in Daytona, and then that forced him to take time off, and that finally helped him heal up. So that's why that ride out of nowhere last week, he's like, it's the first race I actually feel like I'm not hurt all year. So that's kind of why it's trending.
You don't think Ted's threatened him with a firing?
Oh, Ted's so gnarly,
I mean, you know how that team works. If you don't produce.
Actually, funny you mention that. I got all this info early in the year at San Diego Press Day, and Ted was there and Hill. And I'm like, oh, your guy didn't even come out. He didn't even ride qualifying. He said he wasn't even going to go out. And they were just talking about how they don't care. It's fine. Do whatever you want to do.
That would be a great team to ride for. Dakota's on some tropical island half the year.
Yeah, they're just pumped.
Yeah.
Yep.
They need a new wrap, though. I'll stand by that. They really need a new wrap.
They do need a new wrap.
Truck,
come on.
Yeah, no. Imagine, like, he is a billionaire. He's literally a billionaire. And you
a billionaire?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
And you can't get a wrap? I don't know. Okay.
Who's a billionaire?
Ted Tedder.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Billionaire.
Pretty sure.
Wow.
It's insane.
It's a big number.
I know.
Mean, I'm not arguing. I don't know.
I know.
I don't have any argument to give you, but that's a big number.
Okay. Hold on.
I'm not saying I don't believe you. That's a lot. That's a lot of money.
Okay. Shane, 13th. Anybody got anything about that?
No.
No, we don't have any. Last week, that was a big crux of the show.
I know.
What happened to Shane?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to find. Like, there's honestly, the battles at the front are so important right now. These guys kind of get shit on for storylines. Not their fault. You know, if the same guy won every weekend and there was a 50-point lead, you know what? We'd be chasing stories on these guys. We would. Broadcast team, everybody. You know, but that's that's not the situation right now. Like, it's all eyes on the front.
Shit on Shane? Is that what we're back to again?
I think it's an unintentional sharding, but it is crappy nonetheless.
Okay, Hampton Tedder Electrical last year brought in $104 million, according to some website. But I don't know. I want to say they have also some sort of deal with they get residuals from like some solar panels and some windmills and stuff. It's just nuts. Okay. Anyways,
What about Hampton?
It doesn't matter.
Who's Hampton?
I don't know. I have no idea. But
it's his partner.
They got to get a new rep. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Anybody got anything on McElrath?
They do need a new rep. Okay. I'm on board with that.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, AC 14th. He's loving this, I think, and it's just okay. He's fine. He almost won the heat, so yep.
Yeah, we're good.
I'm just happy he's okay with it.
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
because this would be really hard if he was just miserable getting 14th. That it would be a terrible experience, and he's not having lived this. You're not getting this time back, right? So. Being at peace with this, the way it's going, is a very cool thing. I would hate to see him just hating his wife right now.
Weed, you got to see the group text with Betts during this whole time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That would be very interesting.
He said it was the biggest highlight of the year for the series.
Him leading the heat?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see him saying that.
Yeah.
Hey, Adam was riding awesome, though.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. Yeah. Oldenburg, I had him in fantasy. He was way back. I don't know what happened early on. Came all the way to 15th. He was like last or near last. Yeah.
You guys remember though on Adam, he did say, I think maybe in St. Louis at our Pulp MX live show, which we're having another one of those in Denver, everybody come out. He did say that when the track's dry and he doesn't have to hold on so tightly, he can be better. So I think that heat race was kind of him showing us that. Where doesn't have to grip so hard with his arms, that helps a lot. So this was, I think, playing into that.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Chiz's ankle?
Chiz chizzed. He got 16th.
I think his ankle's been bad, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there's some horrific photos I've been told, but I haven't looked at them.
Freddie Norn was back from a foot, broken foot. 17th for Fast Freddy. Grant Harlan made another main.
He nailed 18th. The whole shot and was out of there.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he got passed by Justin Hill, but still rode well.
Yeah.
At some point, Jeremy Hand took out Grant Harlan, I believe, if you want to believe my privateer group text. So,
oh.
Grant was higher than that, and then Hand cleaned him out.
Oh, and gave then, him a hand.
Yeah, give him a hand on that. And then Josh Hill, that's not good for Josh Hill's Yamaha LCQ privateer race points. Because he's right on the border of not making it.
Oh, but he needed to.
How's Starling looking?
Starling's in, yeah. So.
So Josh Hill would have been better off showing up and not making the main, actually.
Yeah, he might be passed out of the top 17. I'm not sure. I haven't seen the points yet, but yeah.
This is the opposite of what happened in SMX.
Why?
Yeah.
What happened in SMX?
Well, he like moved heaven and earth, drove to Iron Man to go
race to
get into SMX.
Yep.
So by showing up to race, he's actually hurting his odds versus where he moved heaven and earth to get to Ironman to increase his odds.
Does he know about your race?
Yes. Yeah, he asked me if he was allowed, and I said
he's aware. Okay.
Yeah, he's aware. Okay. That's 450 class from Nashville. Did you guys know that Shorty was there as a rider rep for the AMA?
Yeah, I talked to him all day.
Yeah, Shorty, man.
I didn't know he was a rider rep. I take it back.
Well,
I did talk to him multiple times.
Did he have an AMA shirt on?
He did not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I saw him on Friday, and I was wondering why I was there. I was actually talking to Carrie Jo, Davey's sister, and then Shorty walks up, and we're just like, hey, what's up, Shorty? And I had no idea that she knew why he was there. He's like, yeah, I don't know what I'm doing yet, but I'm starting a new job. I'm like, starting a new job? She's like, yeah, he's rider rep. He's working with – so it's like they got J-Bone's crew, Christina Denny, Tim McAdams. Now they're putting a rider – on that board. Now, I guess the problem is there isn't a rider that wants to go to 31 races.
Yeah.
So I think their hope is that they can build like a rotation of five or six guys going to five or six races each.
Listen, whatever Shorty wants, just do it.
He He kept saying over and over, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm like, it doesn't matter, man. Finally, when someone says,
well,
who's handing out, when Phil says, these guys handing out the penalties and never raced. We got Shorty now.
I'd like to duct tape his hand on the throttle and send him through these whoops.
You guys would have been dying at Phil. He was so angry at Casey Cochran on the starting line.
Oh, great.
For either the heat or the main event. I don't remember which one it was. But Cochran couldn't decide which gate he was in, and there was a like mass confusion between he and his mechanic about which side of the split start they're going on. Phil was just losing his mind on this kid. And this kid's probably like full panic, right? Because he's got this angry 40-year-old just unloading on him.
Uh-huh.
I was dying.
Welcome to the pros, Cochran.
Yep.
Yeah.
And like Phil was like, he was very angry. It wasn't like he was like playing around. He was pissed.
Like, because he was just taking too much time, I guess.
Yeah. And other people are picking gates right behind them. So like, Cochran's trying to decide if he's going to go to the very inside. There's one gate left. And Phil's like, dude, you have to decide like right now because people behind us are going to take these gates to the right that are still good. And we're stuck in the middle. Like, we're in purgatory right
now. Yeah,
here,
I got to go.
You're
right,
not doing
right.
anything.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and so awesome. And when Phil talks about the whoops and sending people through them, Shorty will go through them, Phil, and he'll probably go through them better than you right now at age 45, you know?
Just don't go race spring nationals, Phil.
Yeah.
Everything will be okay.
Yeah, exactly. But no, that's good. You know what? Hey, listen, I'm the first guy to bag on the AMA, but they're trying. That, you know, we badly need a new website and stat guy and timing guy and all of that, but Pelletier and J-Bone and Christina and the Thule and everybody are working hard, you know? So, so that's good. Okay. All right. That's 450 class. Jet Lawrence, 5 points. What'd you pick for the title, Weege?
Well, I picked Tomac in our preseason videos. Mm-hmm. 33 points, 3 races to go. If the same scenario as last year unfolds, he's your champ.
And I went Sexton, who's 40 back, and I will stay with Chase Sexton. So, I thought that Jet would make mistakes but be the fastest guy, and he has. But the other stuff hasn't worked out. So, all right. Thanks to the folks at motorsport.com for coming on board this podcast. Great prices, OEM and aftermarket parts. If you've got a secret street bike like JT, you can get parts from these guys. E-bikes as well. Free shipping and everything over $69. And a dedicated team of gearheads there to help you out. The best place to order online. Dirt bike parts, street bike parts, OEM parts, anywhere in the world. Motorsport.com. Proud sponsors are Carson Brown, who raced a 2-stroke race at Glen Helen. I don't know how he did, but I'm sure he crushed it because he's Carson Brown. Motorsport.com. And Weege as well. Renthal and Maxis and Weege as well. Onyx Maps.
Yeah, Onyx Maps. I mentioned it last week. They're actually being used to help build courses. And AMA has a hard enduro series or extreme enduro, what they call it in some portions of the world. So they're using Onyx to map it out. That's how good it is for finding trails. If you're a single guy, an enduro guy, an adventure guy, and you want to stay away from the side-by-side trails or the side-by-sides themselves, Onyx is the way to do it. People can leave notes about, you know, fuel range and how easy it is to get back into town and the difficulty. It's all there in Onyx Maps. I found out some sand trail loop for trucks and stuff, you know, down in South Carolina I didn't even know about. I've lived here for 12 years. So onyxmaps.com or Onyx Off-Road in the App Store.
Can we talk about, too, like I was mountain biking the other day, and I was on a mountain bike trail that was next to like a Jeep road, you know, and this asshole on a UTV like just absolutely dusted me, you know, going 50 miles an hour. If you see a man on a mountain bike trying to get his daily ride in, just maybe slow down a little bit.
Well, he saw you were on an e-bike, so you probably thought you guys were like on even equipment.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Fair enough. Yeah, just, you know, don't be an asshole. Just slow down a little bit. So, okay. 250 showdown. So I don't know. Watching RJ Hampshire, he was almost a second off the quickest time in his first qualifying session, fifth overall. And then I don't know whether he, like, sacrificed a chicken. I don't know if they found some nitrous. I don't know what happened. The next session, he was almost a second better than everybody else.
Track changed a lot.
From the second to the third session?
Yes. Well, they canceled the first one.
So there was only two.
Oh, there was only two. Oh.
Yeah, there were only two.
Okay.
And the track was, like, changing, like, by the lap. It was so muddy early.
Okay, because he...
So I think this... The second session, which you're saying is the third, that session was kind of like a normal track. The other stuff was kind of... It was really crappy.
So he blitzes that one, comes from sixth or seventh to win the heat, and then takes off in the main. Like... Yeah, talk about a change from the first time he hit the track. That was awesome. Good job, RJ. And then with Kitchen's problems, like we talked off the top, he's got the points lead. RJ really made a statement, JT, Fly Racing Zone.
He did. He kind of mentioned that all day. He's just like, man, I've just felt it all day. You know, I could just, in his words, the vibes are high. And I was kind of trying to think about it conditions-wise, and I think I have a little bit of a decent parallel. Like, the track... feel a little bit like kind of how High Point can be at times, you know, ruddy, really hard base, like hard bottoms of the ruts. And RJ is amazing at High Point. So maybe it's something with the dirt track ish, something like that. Maybe just feels comfortable in those conditions. I don't know. But if it is, it bodes well for him going to Denver, because that's what Denver will be like.
Yeah, he was great. Weege, that was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to look... You know, the Kitchen not even being able to compete basically against him is going to tilt it where you don't really know. But he seems to indicate that he himself felt he rode way better. I don't know if he beats Kitchen, but he said in the press conference, he's like, after Seattle, my confidence was drained. And then St. Louis wasn't any better. He just walked away from me. I had nothing for him. Mm-hmm. And I had to get better. And then he just, you know what the solution was for RJ? Ride more. Just hammered down, rode more, and I definitely got it better. And yeah, you know, we were going nuts over the Chef, over Seattle and St. Louis were so good, but you go to Glendale, and RJ was better than him there. So with 2 points between them and two rounds to go, you know, it's not like Chef was the best guy at every race this year. So this is really hard to predict. And then I don't know, you know, is Kitchen 100% the next time they race?
Yeah, I don't
do
know.
You guys, do you guys feel, because I do, just put it out on the front end, this like the starts and the heat races of the starts – the start of the heat races kind of dictated everything, right? Because you think about Deegan crashing the first lap. He's in good position. He was pretty good in qualifying practice, especially like the first one. He was fastest in his coast. Blows it on the first lap, which puts him – he has a terrible heat. Then bad gate pick for the main, terrible start. His whole race is kind of based around that. Same thing for Kitchen. He gets pushed wide in the first – like he gets a great jump and then gets pushed wide and then – has to go around Marchbanks, and then it gets worse when Varese goes down. He goes off the track again. But it was like this kind of negative ball rolling down the hill of negative momentum, right? And once they started that process, they couldn't really get out of it. Bad start and heat basically ruined their entire night, because then the starts for the main events, bad gate picks, and you get subject to all the drama, right? If Kitchen gets a whole shot in the heat, and he's able to get first or second, which we know he would, he gets a better gate pick. He's probably not behind McAdoo on the start, because McAdoo had 18th gate pick or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's all these variables that one leads to another, which leads to another, which puts you into a vulnerable position, and then things can really go wrong from there. That's it. Just, I thought one thing for Deegan and Kitchen opened the floodgates for all of these other bad things to possibly happen.
I'm totally with you on Kitchen, because when you watch three quarters of the way down the start straight in the first heat, you're just like, this is it, man. He's doing it again. Yeah. He's pulling every start. And RJ didn't have a good start. And I was like, it's just going to be exactly like we just saw, three triple crowns in Seattle. His starts are unbelievable. And he's just going to keep that ball rolling. And yeah, I agree. If he doesn't go, I guess you're saying he got pushed wide. I don't know if he came in too hot or whatever.
He did, but he went wide, but then they kind of squeezed him.
Like, and it all changed.
They pushed out. Yep. Yeah, exactly.
But it
like
looked,
that one moment,
yes.
That one moment changed everything.
Yes, because if you pause the start of the three triple crowns and this one, three quarters down the start stretch, it's identical. It's like 47 is gone, bye-bye, he's going to win the heat. RJ's going to be like, damn it, I blew the start again, I can't get to this guy. Instead, it was blood in the water. Yeah, I'm right there with you. Deegan, I don't know. That's been so up and down this year that I can't quite count on any, but Kitchen was repeating the same thing over and over.
You can't say Deegan was going to win, but he certainly opened up the possibilities of things going way wrong with that mistake.
I just assume Deegan, because of his qualifying gate pick, got a bad start, and that was it. I'm sure that's probably just what
happened. No, he crashed on the sand.
No, in the main.
Oh yeah, I'm saying yeah,
like
the heat
no,
race
I know,
crash,
I know, but I'm
so.
Saying like what you talk about the main. His crash set him up for a bad gate pick. The bad gate pick set him up for a bad start.
Yeah,
and,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's
so,
totally.
No,
that's
but I'm just saying point. Like yeah. Nothing happened to him outside of a bad start.
Well,
yeah,
that's
which
problem,
started
though.
With the heat.
Yeah. Right.
You got double the competition, which is you know this whole showdown thing.
Yeah.
Bad starts are really punishing in a showdown.
Well, and the track, and also let's not look past the track sucking balls too, and just nothing to going on out there.
I mean, Deegan has to take some blame in the heat. He rode like complete crap in that heat race.
Well, yeah, he made another mistake after he got up from there.
Yeah. He had no pace either. Like he could not pass Winville. Couldn't do it.
Nope.
Like he didn't. It wasn't like he was waiting on Winville either. Like he wasn't riding well in the heat.
No.
Period.
So RJ wins, 2-point lead. Joe Shimoda really riding well late here in Supercross season.
That's so weird.
That's so odd. Poor Lars. But yeah, he rode well. Got second. But yep. All right, Joe. And then the new points leader on your East Coast, 13 points over Hayden. Tom Vial, there we go. Rode well. Hard pack. He was fast all day, right? Fast from the very first time he hit the track. And, yeah, rode well to get one of heat and then got third. Good job, Tom Vial. Your points leader, 13 ahead.
So how do we view, not that it matters, this is all just bench race fodder, how do we view the East versus the West after watching the whole weekend?
Level compared to each other?
Yeah, just bragging rights and who's better. Because I think the West is significantly better.
Well, that's the West took three out of the top four, and then the East took eight. The East took,
and that's even without Kitchen.
Yeah.
And the East took five out of the top ten. So half. Yeah. So half.
I just after watching pace, riders.
Yeah.
The best of the best. I just felt like I feel like the West has the.
I think
a little bit better at the top.
I think we thought that going in, and yeah, nothing changed my mind, right?
Okay.
So, yeah.
I was unsure. I didn't really have a strong opinion going in, but I left there with quite a bit stronger opinion.
Zach Osborne and myself debated this on the Fly Race and Moto 60 show, and we both thought West and were the better coast, and I think it is. But
reinforce that now.
And without Kitchen, like you said, even throw Kitchen in there as the top five.
I mean, he's Kitchen, in my opinion, is still the best guy, right? Like, doesn't mean RJ can't win this title, but.
Do we like Vial to hold on to this, Weech? And how much will Hayden try to screw with Vial?
Yeah, I'm a little worried for Vial. No, I wasn't thinking of that angle much. But I just feel like, you know, I'm just even the way it worked out in SMX for Deegan. I just feel like some guys have so much confidence that just like things just work out. And now there's only one guy left that... in front of Deegan. There's only one crazy thing, and Deegan still ends up winning the title. Doesn't have to wear a fork anymore. Et cetera. Like, oh, man. Vial's bike breaks, or he crashes, or a first-turn crash, or something nuts. I'm like, somehow Deegan could pull this out anyway. Because I just feel like they just operate on such a, you know, we're out for blood, this is war.
I think we're getting full WWE. He's going to get behind Tom in practice. He's going to say things. This is a foreigner. You know, everybody wants Hayden to win. We're going to get it. It's the blood and warrior.
But we haven't gotten any of that yet.
No, but now it's on, I think.
Oh, it's on now.
Now, because
say Birmingham was a little bit, not with Fial.
Why would he not have been on last week after he won the race?
Because,
he has to calm the tempers.
Yeah.
He's told to calm the tempers.
Yeah, but now we're going to try to intimidate the French kid.
He made a comment
in an interview that the only reason Tom won was because those tracks were built for him to win, the ones he won.
But do you find Hayden Deegan intimidating?
No, but just... I mean, I'm not Tom Vial. I'm an old man,
like,
you know.
Would anybody find him intimidating?
Sure, Tom Vial could.
Really?
Sure.
Like a two-time MX2 champion is going to look at 18-year-old Hayden Deegan, and he's not a super imposing
guy. I'm not talking
about
beating anybody. Nobody's going to beat anybody up.
I'm just saying in general. Right. Like, that's part of it, right? It's all, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's going to work. I guess that's
I think he comes out in one of those American flag Mexican wrestling masks.
I think the all laughs his ass off.
I think he comes out for opening ceremonies. What are those things called? I don't even know. The Nacho Libre masks.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, like, if you're VL, like, you practice with Sexton every day. Like, you yeah. know, how, yeah. like, what the pace is. I don't know. Maybe. Like, I'm not saying they won't try. That's not what yeah. I'm saying. I just don't think it's yeah. going to matter or work.
Yeah, yeah,
or,
yeah. I don't know either. I just care. I think there's going to be some shenanigans.
Okay.
Maybe not. Jordan.
I do want to point out for everyone that doesn't follow MXGP, the last title that Vial won, I mean, JT, I think, were you even there? I mean, that was as nail-biter down the wire as it gets. Like, he's been
yeah, I didn't go to Turkey. It was in Turkey, yeah. so I didn't go. I mean, it was last moto, last lap, all that.
That's with Yago, yep. with Yago, right?
Yeah,
with Yago, yeah.
All right, so Jordan fourth. Good job for Jordan Smith. Jalik had a season-best fifth on a Triumph. Good job for Jalik. Did you guys hear about Evan Ferry?
Yeah, I talked to those guys briefly, just literally for like 1 second after the race. They all seemed very happy.
You guys hear about Evan?
We did. Well, saw a press release.
Okay, all right.
I think people are waiting for more information from you. You can't run from this one. This is Ferry news, so people are expecting a lot from you, Steve.
Evan Ferry on the Pulp MX show tomorrow night.
There you go.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a bummer. Like, he had another year left on his deal, right? So,
oh wow,
yeah, he had a year last year. He was signed to Triumph last year, so he rode, you know, black bikes and, you know, just kind of rode whatever because they didn't have a bike for him to ride. And then he was riding this year and next year, so like it's a big financial commitment that Triumph made to him to be their guy, one of their guys, you know. And then, yeah, it just he walked away. They didn't like each other. It sounds like
that's right. Somebody was asking me yeah. about it. Like, how does that even go? And I'm like,
yeah.
When it goes like that, like both sides kind of have to want to leave.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
You know, that's usually the only way that something like that goes that way is both sides think that it's better off just yeah. ending it.
Yeah. Which I mean, I talked to Timmy about a few weeks ago, and I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know if privateer life is going to be better than Factory Triumph. Just that's my opinion. And
yeah, I think that's probably many people's opinion.
Right. They think it is. So
yeah, and that's for them. You know, they're right. the ones that have to do it.
Yeah, so. And whenever Evan races again, which I think will be motocross, he needs to perform. He needs to perform because if he doesn't, people are going to be like, oh boy. So he needs to be 100% physically, mentally, everything riding really well whenever he shows up next on the dirt bike track.
Yeah, so you got to take Privateer 250 class, rookie season, outdoors, and turn heads.
Yep.
That's not easy.
Yep. Okay. Anstey or Deegan six. Good job for Hayden, by the way, to pass. I mean, he passed Hymus and Anstey. Those guys are no joke. Passed some guy named Phil. No joke. To get up to sixth. So that was a good ride.
Well, speaking of being no joke there, this is amazing. We're getting, first of all, we have to mention that our man Phil is going to retire. First of all, not mentioned on the show, but Phil has announced this will be his final season. And we're getting all the kids in on the full experience. So I didn't even know about the Cochran thing, JT. JT, can you also talk about Ryder D, rookie, trying to pass Phil on the inside of the corner?
Oh, yeah, that was great. Yeah.
That's great.
I watched it back today, and I felt bad because I wasn't trying to make fun of Ryder D, but it's a tough look when you go in and try to get aggressive with somebody and you end up on the ground. It's just a tough look. And I know Phil's like, what are you doing? What are you trying to do here?
Sure. And I was so there for, I mean, the very next lap, Deegan was trying the same thing. And I'm like, oh.
Well, he knew better than to, like, force it, you know? Like, you don't have it.
He will. I mean, we saw him grab a gear to get inside of Shock in a very similar corner.
Oh, yeah.
he knew better. He was not doing
well,
that still.
I think it's, I mean, to give Deegan a little bit of credit, like, it's just better racecraft. You know when you have the angle to make the move and when you don't. You know, back out of it when you don't.
I mean, there was a large part of me that was rooting for it. I'm like, oh, if we could have Deegan take Phil out. Oh, before Phil goes,
so
have
mean.
A Deegan-Phil rivalry.
Yeah,
oh.
I'm here for it. Yep, I'm here for it. Anstey 7th.
I saw a rivalry over a gate pick, and that was plenty enough to get me laughing.
Anstey 7th, Hymus 8th. Hymus is just, I don't know, I'm waiting.
That was better.
I guess, sure.
I mean, double the field, that was better.
Bollmer, ninth. Phil, 10th. Phil was up there early. Marchbanks broke his thumb, sounds like. Just a broken thumb, so that's good because it's kind of scary.
It looked a lot worse than that.
Yeah. Shock went backwards. I don't know what happened. I don't know. He was up there. He was sixth or seventh, and then he went backwards. I don't know if he crashed or what. Pierce Brown's run of fourths and fifths finally comes to an end with an 11th, but you could almost say, it was kind of where if you just doubled.
Is this where we start talking about Shock Scott? He's not in the contract here anymore. Now he's on cruising. Cruise control.
Yeah, he's cruising.
Yeah. Just mailing it in.
Something else I wrote for my column was Thrasher had some bike problems in Seattle and went backwards, but it hasn't been good. But he won a race, and Romano too.
I kept hearing so many people this week Thrasher could win this weekend, man. I'm like, I don't know what you guys have been watching, but he hasn't really been in the battles to win.
He's got a race win.
I mean, he does, but that feels like a long time ago.
And then also when he won his other shootouts, I believe he was just Nate Thrasher.
When did he win a race? January?
January.
It just feels like a long time.
But,
that's all.
But I'm saying you look at his other showdown wins, which
they're just random.
Right. So you're just maybe he just rises. But what does Star do with Thrasher and Romano?
I don't know, man. They have half the field, so it doesn't matter. They just keep rolling them out there.
Yeah.
Mosman. Just like Axl Rose. Just keep rolling them out there.
Kitchen 14th. Cochran 15th. Henry Miller got...
Where are we at on Cochran? Because
I don't know. Yeah.
Everybody was going nuts in Foxborough about his qualifying time. And I'm like... Can we slow down?
He was in unseated group. He was in unseated group.
I know, but I'm telling you, man. People were going nuts. There was a lot of excitement in the air.
Was it from his parents?
That is so crazy. Really? He was in a different session.
Yes. But he was third overall. And that's...
It doesn't matter.
I'm telling you the word on the streets.
Wow.
And I wasn't there with that yet. I was like, we got to do some racing here.
You got to hang out.
And it hasn't
different
gone
streets.
To plan so far.
You got
to
hang
out. No, in the futures races, he won the one last year, but what did he do two this year? They weren't... I mean, I think it was a bad start, but big part of it, but he wasn't crushing it.
Yeah. It's just a tough, I don't know the expectation, right? He's new to the series, new to the class. But there is also expectation when you're on a factory bike, you got to be kind of in the mix. You don't have to be fifth, but you need to be eighth, ninth, 10th, I think, or at least in that fight. That's what I feel like anyway.
Well, I think he was seventh or eighth in Foxborough till he fell or stalled. And then this week, whatever, it's a showdown. He got 15th. I don't know. Two races in, man. I'm not even going to.
Okay, yeah, I'm just asking where we at. I'm not condemning him by any means.
I'm not breaking anything
down. I'm
just asking. Henry Miller got docked two positions for grooming in front of the gate like Brees did a few weeks ago. And I checked in with Henry.
Oh, in the hot lap.
And I checked in with Henry, and he said he just dumped his clutch like normal. He wasn't really trying to do anything. And then he looked back, and they said, if you hadn't looked back, that was it. They docked him because he looked back, and then he said he got a terrible start at that, so not too happy.
Shimoda was talking about getting a warning for this, but I couldn't understand what he's explaining. So it's that they think the riders are purposely grooming their rut by doing almost a burnout of the rut for the parade lap.
Yeah, I mean some riders aren't even starting in the rut, right? They're starting. Webb did this a couple weeks ago. They're on the grate in the center or off center just a little bit. And then they're good enough where they're riding right beside the rut. And
it's a big talking point down on the starting line.
Right.
Big. Riders are mad. Thule and the guys down there are all mediators. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's all been part of the games, even when I was a mechanic, right? That's all.
Well, the tough,
the
only thing I understand of where riders are angry is because when they do that, by definition, they're literally going to move over on you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're coming your way.
Yeah.
If they're trying to dodge the rut, so it gets really dicey. So the guy next to him is like, hey, dude, they're angling to come right into my line here. You know, so
yeah.
I don't know.
Is that your job as a rider to point that out and say, this guy's angling himself? Check it out.
I think they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they are.
Right.
You know, but it's also dicey or I don't know. I know it's just a big talking point down there. You kind of watch these trends come and go and what matters and what doesn't, and it's definitely a talking point.
What about the old... accidentally drop water on your gate when you're a mechanic and you're accidentally pouring water in your gate to moisten
it. Remember when DB pissed on the his gate.
Yeah.
Mount Horse.
Yep. Yep.
Try to add some traction.
Or you put some contact. You put a rag with contact cleaner in
Ziploc
bag.
Big, no. Yeah. On concrete.
Yeah. All part of the game to me. I don't know.
There's a lot of finger pointing back in the Buds Creek concrete days, mm-hmm. about people like wiping the concrete down. But what's on that rag?
Yeah.
What do you got? What's on that rag?
Oh yeah. Yeah. For sure. I tried it a few times. It didn't. Yeah. I don't know. What about the hydraulic stuff too, JT? That's a little bit of a thing too, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So basically some of it depends on where the gate position is, mm-hmm. where they put the hydraulic unit. So if the hydraulic unit's really close to the dog box, they have a much better chance of hearing the air decompress.
The dog box, the dog house,
whatever it is. Yeah.
Okay.
But if it's close and they can hear it, you'll see everybody piling into the gates next to it.
Yep.
And if it's not and they can't hear it as well, they kind of don't. So it's definitely a moving target. There's not a rule against it, so they're trying to find angles, you know?
But it's
definitely a thing. Like, when you see those massive hole shots from the gate next to the box,
uh-huh.
that's typically what's going on.
Yeah, Tomac, Glendale last year, right? Everyone was saying you could hear it. Yeah.
I'm not trying to, like, say, like, oh, they're cheating. Like, there's no rules against it.
Yeah.
Like, if you can find an edge, use it.
Yep.
But it is definitely a thing.
I agree.
That Glendale one, they swear that was not one of the nights that it should have been able to be heard. But I think, was it last week Tomac had an insane start
in the heat race? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that one was. I've heard them say it's not always that, but yes, unfortunately, I think it has been sometimes.
That's where
Webb used it all night, and Tomac used it when he had the heat race game too.
And that's when I accused John and Eli of paying off the starter. And then John said if we were paying off the starter, we would have paid him off for the main. So.
Sexton, San Francisco, same thing.
Yeah.
Was he next to the box?
He was.
But, I wonder, how does the AMA move that around, you know? I don't know.
No, I heard there was a silencer sometimes, but it doesn't always work or something like that.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, so, there's a lot of ins and outs. Very complicated case.
a lot of ins and outs.
Yes.
Henry, shout out Henry Miller and Gage Linville for being – I don't know where you go with the solitaire guys and the club guys, like if they're privateers. They kind of are, right? They're privateer teams.
Oh, for sure they are.
Yeah. But like Henry Miller and Gage Linville are, I think, a step below those guys. They don't really have teams per se.
Agreed.
So shout out to Henry Miller and Gage Linville for making the main in a showdown. Great job.
Linville was impressive, man.
Yeah.
Like he did not back down from those guys at all.
You know who trains him, right?
I do not.
Yogi.
Okay. I know he's a Georgia guy, so that makes sense. I was going to say Matt Walker.
No, he rides at Lawrence's place, and then Yogi comes down there. He said once every 3 weeks, yells at him, and then goes back home.
Okay. Oh, he rides at 83?
Yeah. No.
Oh, I didn't know
he rides at Lawrence's place.
What does that mean?
Is that 83?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now it's Dog Pound.
It's Dog Pound.
Dog Pound. It used to be the 83 compound, but I guess now that he's 18, it's not anymore. I don't know. I can't keep up with this crap, man.
I thought it was Chad Reed's house.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I was talking to Lars, and they were out. They were doing outdoor testing last week, and Lars said he jumped every jump on the outdoor jump on the outdoor track. I'd like to see any other team manager out there jumping the jumps at Chad Reed's outdoor track.
I heard he didn't like that big tabletop in the back.
He didn't, but he jumped it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how about that, Lars Lindstrom?
Damn.
Bro. I was trying to tell these guys, those guys, about how the jumps used to be when Chad wanted to make every day like Nitro Circus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'd have to illustrate or show them video. Like it was death defying back in the day. Mm-hmm. Like I think about it now and I'm like, what were we doing?
Yeah. Chad,
what is the reason for that?
Chad said they knocked it down because of you, JT.
Who did?
Chad.
Chad did knock shit. You think he cowered to me?
He said,
think that's what happened?
He said he changed the jumps because they were scared that your bike was going to break.
Oh, he's such a liar. Okay. He would never change the track to like cater to me. Are you crazy?
I don't know, man.
It's not true. But seriously, like his whole theory, whether it was Supercross or outdoors, was make the tracks brutally difficult and put yourself to the absolute test every day. So when you go to the race is easy. And if he was the only person riding there, which it was generally just me and him, and he's like, you just got to figure it out because this is what's going to make me better. I'm like, fair enough. You're paying for everything. That's fair. I get it, right? Like his level needed to be extremely high to be tested, right?
Yeah.
And it was high, man. The tracks were insanely difficult, and well, probably made me better too. Thankfully, I never got hurt at Chats or Timmy's. Not one day in my life did I ever get injured at either of those two tracks.
Okay, well, let the record show they did not change the jumps for you.
They did not. He would never do that. Like, you know him better than that. He would never do that.
Okay. Yeah. So, anyways, So Linville rides there, trains with Yogi. So
cool. Yeah, that's good. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And Yogi was at Nashville, actually. Of course.
I saw him.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say, typical Yogi, no one probably even saw him. He just dipped.
No one notices him. No. That's always a thing, right. But I didn't see him.
Okay. Nashville.
Bradshaw was there.
Was he? Oh.
It was a who's who. McGrath, Bradshaw,
yeah.
Yogi.
Listen,
no Mathis, though.
I'm going to take credit for something. Imagine that. I know some of the Feld guys listen to my shows. Obviously, you two wouldn't have the jobs you have on TV without my shows.
Oh, jeez.
So
I will say, yeah, I've told you, yes, me, yeah. Not Weege, though. Weege
too.
You think they
notice his ATV MX shows?
No, I think they noticed the announcing he was doing in Pro Motocross way before he was anything for him.
They were packing that in. Okay, anyways, here's where my new thing I'm going to take credit for. We had McGrath on the show. And I said, why don't you do more stuff at Supercross? Like, I don't understand. You're always great on Race Day Live. And, you know, they should have you in the booth here and there. And I don't know why they don't have it, because I do think he's really good. And he said, I don't know, man. They don't call. I would love to do it. I'm here for them. I would love to do it. And then, I don't know, 3 weeks later, he was at a race. And then now he's back at a race. I'm just saying.
I don't think that's it.
Okay.
What changed, though?
You think? I don't know. I think they listened to...
They started calling him because of this conversation.
I think they forgot about the King of Supercross. I think they forgot about the King of Supercross. Because at the time on the show, Jeremy didn't say, hey, I'm coming in 3 weeks or I'll be... You know, like he didn't say, like, I'm coming up. He didn't say that. He was like, I don't know. I would do it. I love to do it. Anytime they want me. So, I don't know.
All right.
Just taking credit for that.
That sounds about right.
Okay. Yep. Also, don't forget about the LCQ Challenge tickets, people. Win a 2024 YZ450F. The race is coming up Friday in Denver. JT will be there to help out. Denny Stevenson will be helping out. The Verb guys are going to live stream it. Should be fun. Good times.
It was good times last year. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Nashville? We're on to Philly. First time since 83, Weege?
Yeah, I couldn't remember exactly the year, and it's not this stadium, so we're going to get a lot of the... It's really become one of the more annoying things. Old school guys trying to, within the hashtag, within like the decimal point, trying to prove that they're the only smart people on earth. So times I've said we've...
I don't even know where you're going.
I don't know where you're talking about right now. The decimal point.
I'm here for it. And this is old school guys just trying to prove they're the smartest person in the ring. So several times in things we've written on the RacerX site or things I've said on show, I'd be like, we've never raced in this stadium before. And they'll be like, bro, you people don't know the history. They had a race there. And I'm like, I said stadium. I didn't say we never raced in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And the motivation there is people trying to prove that they are the smartest person in the room. Like, does it really matter? No. Mm-hmm. So we have never said that we have not raced in Philadelphia before.
Yeah.
But we will say that we've never had a race in this stadium because I feel like that's cool. And I try to when we're going to a new venue, I think it's cool and worth noting.
But
so I note that we're going to a new venue. I did not say it was the first time we ever raced in that city.
In that same vein, I do want to mention I did not know that Tomac had started doing that triple from the inside before Jet, and I reported that Jet had kind of innovated that, and people are just losing their minds on social media about it. Okay, I was wrong. My bad. Like,
yeah,
got the point.
I got a tweet that said that you knew that Tomac had done it before, but you were pushing the Jet narrative.
Oh, stop.
Yeah. I agreed with it, by the way. I retweeted it. I retweeted it, and I loved it, and I hearted it.
Yeah. Like, I didn't see it, so that's on me. Like, my bad, right?
Yeah.
But I'm just getting, like, beat over the head by people on Instagram. I'm like, yeah, man, my fault. Like, I missed it. I'm sorry. Like, golly. I mean, it comes to the territory. It's just like, holy crap. I
stuck up for you.
You can't say something wrong on TV, man. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah.
Do not do that.
I got confused because I did go back on one guy, and I'm like, he did say that they jumped the triple. I didn't know they meant the inside, using the inside to jump it.
Yeah.
Pushing the narrative.
I didn't see Tomac do it first.
Pushing the narrative of Jet.
Yeah. I'm because all we want to do is just, you know, we want to make Jet the the start. Everybody else sucks. Jet's the only person we care about. Yeah.
Especially compared to Tomac. Like, the goal is to make Tomac look bad.
One of the legends of the sport. Second most ever. We just want to... It's really the same approach as McElrath. We're just going right at him.
I stuck up for you on social media. Unfortunately, I had to. But
no, I appreciate it. I would admit it. I was wrong. I'm wrong all the time. I promise.
I will say one of the things I've learned doing Supercross, like I keep saying, it's not that much different really than doing outdoors. But the one thing I will say is hard is that when I'm calling the race, it's a lot harder to really pick out the rhythms or a line. You're kind of like giving it 50% watching and 50% thinking about what you're going to say and things like that. And many times I'll watch the race back and I'll be like, ah, I see. He went 3-2 or he went 2-3 or this is how this happened. It's hard in the moment when you're talking to pick up on that stuff. Outdoors, it doesn't matter because those things don't happen. The race doesn't come down to rhythms. But I don't know if that's – it's probably a little different for you, JT, because you have some down. But for me, I pick up on a lot of it. But when I watch it back, I'm like, didn't even realize that was happening because you're not fully focused on just watching.
Yeah. For me, what happens is I'm going in between watching the race that I can see from the podium – and then watching my monitor, right? Yep. So sometimes I'm looking back and forth and I'll be watching what Jet's doing. If they're showing like Barsha in fifth and I know that the story I'm going to need to report on is not that, I'll be trying to find out what's going on with Tomac and Webb and Jet because that's what I'm going to be asked to come back to. And so I'm watching that. And if I miss them showing Tomac doing something like that, I just missed it, right? I was watching Jet and then I saw him doing it. I'm like, holy crap, he just did that, right? And yeah, it happens. Well, it's going to happen again. So just let everybody know that's going to happen again at some point.
Yeah, live TV ain't easy. In the Ralph and Jeff days and in other – obviously, we're all friends on this call. But, you know, the Ralph and Jeff days and even Ricky makes some mistakes. You're just like, oh, man. But it's stuff that, like, it's just – it's a mistake of words or tripping over your tongue or – you know, not quite, which is easy to do in a live situation. It really is. You know, I mean, it's not.
Yeah, there's no take backs. Like, we don't get our do over.
It's not easy. And I know this from doing my own shows and Montreal Supercross and different races I've done over the time. And we just did one in Arena Cross, right? We just did the Daytona Live Arena Cross. And I was the play by play guy, right? And yeah, it ain't easy. So.
I really want to get a part of the broadcast, though. I want to point out rhythms all the time because I feel like that's no different than. You know, did they throw the ball or did they run the ball? But, you know, are they driving the ball to the basket or are they shooting from outside? Like, I feel like that is intrinsic to the game. Is it a curveball or a fastball or a knuckleball, whatever it might be? I feel like that's intrinsic. But I find it is a lot harder when you're just watching compared to when you have to talk. You just don't see quite as much because you're a two-track mind.
Yeah, like when I'm watching from the press box – like I'm even sometimes whipping out my stopwatch and timing the sections from start to end and doing it over a couple of laps, you know, to see if it's faster or what's like, you don't have that advantage, right? You don't have the ability to do that. You're talking and I'm up there watching. Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That was a cool jump though. I will say that.
It was cool. It was not the only thing that was cool on that track all day. I'm in a group text with the Dirtworks guys and I was ripping into them and, not so much their fault, but just I'm just like you, like you know, like the corner after, the corner before the triple. Like, what was that? What's going on there, guys? What are we doing? We're putting a bend in it. Why? What are we doing? And there's no the turn after the whoops. No bowl turn. No, nothing. Just flat. That's all we can do. Cool.
I need more nets. I think they should do that. Well, I think if anything, I think would help the sport would be nets and corners.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Listen, I offered Prater a Pulpamex net. I said, I'll spend $2,000 that will get me a net. And he said, no.
Mm. So. You know what's funny about your net thing? You probably even forgot this. I think your original, the net was, I think, because you wanted to bring berms back into the 90-degree corners.
Yeah.
Because the 90s are the ones that suck the most.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. We've never seen a net in a 90, but you would need a lot more nets.
Well, whatever, man. Listen, as much as I like to say it was all about rider safety, it really wasn't.
No, you wanted to see passing in a 90-degree corner. Yeah. You wanted to see an incentive to go outside.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then I turned it into safety, and like I was some sort of Mother Teresa.
Yes. So. Yeah, when Baggett was hanging in the net like Spider-Man.
Right.
And was it Forrest that texted you and said, thank you, you
yeah, I ran
were more than willing to accept that?
I ran with that then, yes. I continue to do that. All right, we're on to Philly this week. It should be good. Yep, awesome. I think the weather's supposed to be shitty again, by the way. It's. We're not going to talk about it now because it's 6 days out, but I did hear
I'm just so sick of seeing even a chance right now.
Yeah. So.
It is crazy. You know, let's have a truce to this mud race, not a mud race. Is it going to happen? It's pretty bad that almost every race has the same exact thing going.
Yeah.
Saturday was beautiful, though. Let's be real.
It was
such a nice damn day. It was awesome.
It was awesome. And the Nashville setup, if you folks haven't been there, you're really missing out. I don't know if there's another stadium that has a cooler setup of the downtown party zone. Is like there's literally a pedestrian walkway. Like, dude, when practice started, it was like the coolest thing. You're literally seeing people walk from these insane bars at noon in perfect weather and walk into the stadium and watch practice. Like, it's the most urban Supercross has ever been. Like,
I had friends
from the bar to the track.
Yeah. I had friends that went, came over, watched practice, went to the bars, came back for the night show. And they, I mean, it's like a, I don't know, 20-minute, 15-minute, like, commute, right?
Yeah,
so they just
perfect.
Watch practice, cool, man. We got like 2 hours, something like that. We'll be back. They go to the bars, party, hang out, have a great time, cruise back in, right in time for opening ceremonies. Like, it is, just to your point, it is phenomenal.
Yeah, I don't know why that stadium isn't, I mean, the crowd was good, but it should be completely packed. I don't know why it's not. It's so cool.
Did you guys go out?
I think some people just never make it back. They just never make it back.
That could be why.
Yeah. Did you guys? It did look a little light. Attendance looked a little light on TV.
But. It's a big stadium, too, though, so I don't know what the numbers were, but I expected it to be full. So I agree with you.
Did you guys go out after? Did you hit the town?
I went for 2 hours. I knew, like, I'm early to bed, early to rise. I had a friend in town, and he literally drove up from Atlanta to hang out. And I'm like, all right. I can go out for an hour or two. So we got to the bars at 9:30 after we filmed SMX Insider. And I'm like, you got me for 2 hours. Let's have a couple drinks. Let's catch up. But I promise you I'm leaving at 11:30. And I did. Wow. But then I got calls from all my buddies that are there from Boise at like, I was at the airport and they were FaceTiming me still out. They were still out. This is at like 6:30 in the morning.
Weege, did you go out?
Not on a Saturday. I hung out a little bit on Friday. Mm. When I wanted to. I had intentions the whole time. And then, you know what? I was really deciding. First of all, I was at the track way later than 9:30, as you'd imagine. And then I was deciding, should I do this or not? And then I saw all the mechanics leaving the pits and just getting in their rental car minivans. And it was like, okay, the guys at work that are working, they're just like, yeah, I'm going back to my hotel and going to the airport. I'm like, I'm one of them. I'm one of the working guys. So I'm not going out.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
We were filming SMX post-race show, not SMX Insider. Spoke there.
Yeah. You
should watch a post-race show that we have because JT does a really good report showing the rut on that takeoff of the triple before the whoops.
So, it's so gross.
It makes no sense. It's curled. It's like a
it's
surfer
unbelievable.
Wave.
It's like a snake.
Yeah. Yeah. And Eli and Jet are just jumping that.
I saw a web.
Curled rut.
I saw Webb was trying to stay out of it sometimes. He wasn't quite getting it the way he wanted to or whatever.
He said he wasn't jumping the triple. He wasn't going to jump it.
Yeah, he didn't even do it.
Oh, I thought he did it. Okay.
He might have done it. I think he just said he didn't practice, but he didn't do it.
Also, too, by the way, I offered $100 on Thursday for the first fan to get me a photo of Mr. Side holding hands in the pits. And, dude, 9 a.m. Nashville time, I got a photo DM'd me. He couldn't even just right away. So
it was actually friends of mine.
Oh, was it? Okay,
so
that's why.
Yes.
Okay.
We were waiting for back walk that morning, and they're like, "I see him," and I'm like, "I don't even know what he's talking about."
Yeah.
Like it was him walking, holding hands, and it was like he just shouted out, "I see him," and he just takes off running. I'm like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah. Well, he got awesome. That gentleman got $100 from me.
He spotted him like it was like a. He's like in a deer stand. Like, it just like got him.
I was like, Mr. Side, like, you can't, you're working. Like, it's cool that your chick's there and it's cool you're in love. Like, if Pookie tried to hold my hand in Boston, I would have cut her hands off.
cut her hands off.
I'm working, man. And I told Mr. Side that you're working, you know? But didn't matter.
That's like you're Iranian.
Well, I'm just saying, like,
chop her hands off.
It's a work day. I'm working. So
I don't picture you as much of a hand holder.
When the moment's right, sure, but not during my work day. No. But
is that the Cialis ad?
Yeah, the bathtubs. I got a
when the work day is over and the moon.
Steve will hold when the moment's right. Yeah. Steve will hold her hand.
Yeah, just not at Nashville Stadium. So. But, yeah, so 9 o'clock, 9 a.m., the guy got a photo, and he got $100.
It was awesome.
Okay, we're on to Philly. Real quickly, though, this is something I was debating in another group text. Outdoor favorites right now. Who's your outdoor favorites right now?
Joe Arns.
And 250s?
Ooh.
Okay. I'll go Jett and Hayden. Jett and Hayden.
Yeah, I mean, those are the obvious ones. I think I'm going to go away from Hayden and pick something else. I think I'm going to go...
Tom Biel?
Kitchen.
Kitchen? Okay.
I think I'm going to go Kitchen, yeah. What? I just like where he's at. Like, I hope he's okay. If he's injured, then all bets are off. Right. But I really like the way he was developing.
Weege?
Yeah, I think Chet Lawrence pretty safe.
Okay.
In 450s. But that 250 is tough. Obviously, RJ, Vial. Man, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pick Yale.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Yep. And then we think Tomac is doing outdoors?
Yeah, I think so.
That's cool. That's awesome. Let's hope.
That's kind of what I'm hearing. Nothing official.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Want to tell everybody.
Yeah.
I hope so, man. That is great news for the series if it does. That is awesome. Well, you think what he brings, right?
Oh, like, yeah.
He just brings a lot. I'm not saying he's going to beat Jet. I don't think anybody's saying that. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But he adds a whole nother level to the series.
Yeah, let's hope. Let's hope he gets it done. That'd be awesome. Yeah, great for the series. Great for the announcing team. So, all right, Philadelphia. We're on NBC, right? And it's a day race. Did I have that right?
Yeah, 3 Eastern.
The best part of that is the Leaf game. Game 4 is at like 7 Eastern, so I'll be able to watch it.
That is the best part.
Okay. All right. Thanks to the folks at Fly and Renthal, Maxis, Motorsport.com, Onyx Maps, all of that. We, JT, thanks, boys.
See you guys.
See ya.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxis Tires, Renthal, Motorsport.com, and Kuba Links on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners.